As you're getting ready to do any holiday shopping this November, don't forget you can always get the best deals on everything you need at Amazon.com. We always greatly appreciate when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who has just hidden all of his son's Halloween crackle, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, BBOTT. First time that I'm talking BBOTT since we were back at the Broadway Comedy Club and we were graced by the Messiah himself. But I'm very excited to get back into, I believe, to be a busy day in the BBOTT house. Let's welcome back our live feed correspondents. First, that he is a man, a huge fan of the Frightened Rabbits, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, Frightened Rabbits, that's a great tie-in because I'm really looking forward to the Halloween party. There was a nice preview last night of the Halloween party. The real one, I'm sure, is coming because, you know, obviously that last one was just a preview. So I'm really excited for the Halloween stuff to come.
Yes. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Also, welcome back our other live feed correspondent here today that he is a huge fan of. Korean horror. He just got through The Wailing. Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
The Wailing.
That was good. That's a good one, right, Biscuit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie.
It's a deep pull. Why do both pulls have to be in Terrence camp? I, you know, that's not my wheelhouse. You know my wheelhouse, Rob. It's like, you know, sports and other things.
Yes, yes. A man still raging over Australian Survivor, Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
You're speaking my language.
There you go. All right, so very excited to get into everything from this week in BBOTT. And we got a lot to talk about here tonight. So we want to hear from you. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We're going to take your questions as we get through the first of two BBOTT podcasts for me as we head into eviction. The eviction lines are open. People are casting votes. Memes are being made, and we'll talk through everything that's going on here this week. Also, we're very excited about this. It's everybody, a childlike joy. Everybody is very pumped up about the hunt for another person to join the live feed correspondence. There's going to be a rookie coming to the live feed correspondence in 2017. And we are going to be beginning that hunt this week. We're very excited for this competition. We have 10 potential candidates who are vying to become the next featured player on the live feed correspondence. And that journey begins on Thursday. Alex, you pumped up?
Yeah, it's going to be quite the experience. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out, Rob.
Yes, internally, we've called it LFCOTT, but it is happening. And you guys are going to have a big say in who gets added to the team of live feed correspondents for 2017. And I officially announce the So You Think You Can Podcast LFC competition is on its way to Rob Has a Podcast. We will have probably in the next 24 hours a page up where you can look at the headshots and see a meet the LFC candidates page where you'll be able to see a short intro video from everybody. And best of all, like The Voice, each of the live feed correspondents will be coaches of three or four of the live feed correspondents. Taryn, are you pumped up to get your proteges in gear?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously I'll have the best team, so I'm excited for one of them to become the new correspondent.
Yes, yes. So You Think You Can Podcast LFC is coming. And the way that this will work is that we will have a few rounds where each of the LFC will be hosting a show with their team. The first of these shows will be on Thursday. So you guys will be the beneficiary of a lot of extra BBOTT coverage coming up here over the month of November. 1 month from today, the winner of BBOTT I believe, will be crowned. So we will have almost daily coverage at this point of the OTT. So that's the other exciting news as we look for someone else to add to our esteemed ranks for 2017. So the first show is going to be on Brent, or is going to be with Brent on Thursday at 7 Eastern time. So what's going on tomorrow night, Alex? Are you on with Jordan on the Happy Hour?
Yeah, late night show tomorrow. We usually record a little after midnight when like HOH actually gets going in the house. That's me, Brent, and Jordan.
Okay, and then after that, look for Team Brent making their first appearance live on Thursday at 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So, okay, so let's get into what's going on in the house as of right now. And why don't we start off with our veto meeting, Taryn? You want to set the stage for where we're at right now?
Yeah, so basically, you know, since we podcast on Friday, Whitney was put up on the block next to Shelby. And that was a bit surprising for us because it was kind of a turn. And after Whitney is put up on the block, America nominates Scott after we thought Chrissy was probably going up. So not too good on predictions so far. Then they play the veto. The veto is basically a haunted house kind of, it's super dark. There's people who are scaring them and they have to find three objects, bring it back to this toy box in the dark. And whoever does it the fastest wins the veto. Danielle wins the veto and decides to take Whitney off the block and put Morgan in her place. And the current plan is to get rid of Scott.
Okay. Now, the big part of this whole conversation that we're going to have today is the America's Care package that Shelby has. Alex, do we know for certain yet which votes Shelby is canceling?
It seems like she's going to cancel votes on the plastic side.
Okay.
On the misfit side. Like she's relying on Alex, I believe, and she's relying on, I can't remember the other one.
So which are the votes that will ultimately be canceled?
It's definitely, I would say Chrissy.
Chrissy.
Yeah. And then I think she's also probably canceling Jason for sure, I would think. Like those are people she definitely doesn't have.
Okay. And then is Justin the third?
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense to me.
Okay. All right. So then the only votes to evict then this week are going to be Alex, Whitney, and America, Taryn. Is that all sound right with you?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Now you would think, okay, this might be a bit of a slam dunk with these people in play. But let's talk about the Whitney vote, Alex, and why that might be up for grabs, maybe more than we would have expected.
Sure. So Alex did a lot of work earlier in the week to try to ensure that she wasn't on the block and Morgan wasn't on the block. And, you know, and Scott was protecting himself, too. So it really did expose her a little bit in the way of when Whitney found herself nominated, she realized that, you know, more work had been put in by somebody than her to make sure that it was her and not Morgan up. So gradually it just became pretty apparent that Alex is really protecting Morgan on some level. And it really has driven Whitney to, you know, kind of distance herself from those girls more. She's more spending time with Justin and even with Chrissy and kind of that other side of the house now.
Taryn, I know you've been talking about on Twitter how impressed you've been with Danielle during her HOH, and that I've also seen people really on your case about not giving Danielle enough praise early on. So do you want to speak to what you've liked about what she has done this week in particular?
This week, I mean, she has done a much better job. I liked the move to put Whitney up. And I do think that there's been some good play to get Whitney to cross over. I'm not entirely sold on the idea that she should have taken Whitney off the block. I do still think that, taking out one of those girls with the care package is probably the better move. And I think that Whitney is way more tied to Justin than she is to Danielle. And Justin isn't a big fan of Danielle. So I'm a little worried about, this move in particular, getting out Scott instead of one of those girls. However, she has definitely improved from the beginning, and that could be a case of her learning the game a little more, or just a matter of, you know, she was so low and there was only, you know, one direction for her to go. But I, I'm Yeah. But I'm happy with her progress. I think that she has a decent amount of equity to go far, and she still has that underdog thing going for her that I think people aren't going to expect because they still think America hates her. And so if she does make it to the end, I do think she has a shot to win.
And in following your Twitter, you tweeted last night that I think Danny just won. That was in response to the veto, not in response to a move she made this week where you feel like she is now going to be the winner of BBOTT.
That was in response to the veto. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that was an Arlie style declaration. I'm pretty sure it was.
She locked it up. You know, that was my winner pick for the record.
I'm controlling everything.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Okay. So here's where I think things start to get interesting, because presumably that you would think, okay, you have Alex and she probably with the choice between her sister, her ally, and Scott sitting there on the block, that she is going to then send out Scott, right? Presumably this is where we're all on the same page.
Yeah. And poor bumbling Scott is like on the feeds by himself saying stuff like, well, at least I can advance Alex's game another week. Like I feel like I screwed up my game and everyone else's game, so at least I can like fall on the sword for my allies. It's like, dude.
Yes.
She's actively trying to get you out in the next room.
Well, okay. So let's just talk this through. So you figure Alex is going to be a vote for Scott here. And then presumably, is the Whitney vote also going to be for Scott?
Presumably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because Scott's just seen as like, you know, Alex's minion at this point. People don't really see a use for him other than with him and Alex. They think they're too attached.
But is there movement at this hour for the late night jamboree to potentially try to flip Whitney's vote into get her to voting against Morgan in this spot? And likewise, are the late night jamboree fans mounting on Twitter to put America's vote also against Morgan, Alex?
I have seen some of that. I do feel like there's a bit of an opportunity here, given the familial relationship of Alex and Morgan.
Leave Jerry's familia out of this, Alex. That is a still an ongoing investigation.
No comment on that, Rob. But yes. I do feel like this is a situation where if they knew all the variables in play, they would take the shot at Morgan.
Yeah. So, Taryn, how much of a thing is that right now? Is that just fan fiction that there could be some talk? Obviously, Scott is a persona non grata on the Misfit side of the house. But is there any talk about making the bigger move against the plastic side?
By America or by in the
house? Let's start with in the house, because America could, I think America is certainly thinking that way from what I've been reading on Twitter. And that idea is being floated around, but it really doesn't mean anything unless the Whitney vote goes that direction also.
From what I've seen in the house, there's no direction there. They've been talking about getting rid of Scott, especially someone like Jason, because that's kind of perfect for Jason. He gets rid of Scott. It frees Alex up a little bit more, at least in his mind. And it's also better for Whitney, because it's the same thing for Whitney. If she gets rid of Scott instead of Morgan, she, in her mind, it frees Alex and them up a little more. So if she wants to flip back, then she has that option, and it's a better option in this case. So there's really not a lot of incentive to not evict Scott. And from the polls that I'm seeing, Scott is pretty generously in the lead. So I'm thinking it's probably going to be Scott.
Yeah.
And it is unfortunate for Whitney, because she, you know, the trust is really only flowing one way right now, but she doesn't realize it. I mean, Morgan is confident. I mean, she said she's 100% sure that Whitney must have thrown her under the bus for this to have happened. And meanwhile, Whitney, you know, has made a point of multiple times, even just since the veto was played, going to Morgan and telling her she has absolutely nothing to worry about.
Just how much is Whitney double dealing? Has she actually flipped to the Misfit side of the house, Alex, or is she just doing a good job of playing both sides against each other?
It's kind of not really either, and a little bit of both, I guess you could say, because, you know, it's just socially she's being, you know, directed that way a little bit, because she feels like, you know, Scott and Alex particularly are, you know, working against her. But at the same time, she does still feel like she has, you know, good connections with especially Morgan, but like really those girls. So it's not really, I think, that she's actively super consciously trying to work the middle so much as she finds herself in that position. And now she's like, you know, looking around, hoping, you know, one of many people might be, you know, her ticket moving forward.
And does she want Scott out of the house as well? Or is that just a acceptable loss on the side of the Ball Smashers and the Late Night Jamboree actually wants him out of the house, Alex?
Well, on that side, she probably has the least, she has less of a relationship with Scott than any other of those girls. So if it's Whitney who's voting and the rest aren't, it really is a much easier sell at that point, because the relationships that Scott has really worked on, those are Alex and Shelby predominantly.
Mm-hmm. So, Taryn, what I don't understand, though, is why are so many people on social media saying put the vote on Morgan, take the shot this week, if it doesn't look like Whitney is going to be taking the shot in the house? Is it just an insurance policy because America's vote doesn't mean anything?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but from what I'm seeing just on my Twitter feed right now, I just posted my poll and it looks like a lot of people are saying they want to cause some paranoia. They want to throw a hanky vote.
Like send a message.
I guess so. But I think that would probably help Morgan a lot. And it might actually throw some dissension into the Misfits. So I'm not sure if that's the best move if you're a Misfit fan, but I think I'd have to think it through a little more.
Why do you feel like it would cause dissension in the ranks if they thought that they wouldn't believe Whitney necessarily, or that the idea that America put a vote on Morgan would throw dissension into the ranks?
I mean, just in the sense that, they'd think that somebody's lying. They might think like, oh, is Whitney trying to trick us? Like, what's happening? You know, there's a lot of different scenarios where like people are expecting it to go on Scott and things are going in the way of the Misfits right now. And so moving forward, anything that throws a wrench in that plan is probably not good for them. So, I'm guessing it's mostly the team neutral team or team plastics that are going for this. But again, I'm just learning about it now, so this is just my initial reaction.
Team plastics are going for put the vote on Morgan.
I'd imagine that's what I would think, because
I think it's this. There's this like really growing contingent of fans that really want to see the sisters outed and exposed. Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of like the group that's really, you know, really emphasizing this.
Well, I doubt that would happen.
Well, I agree, but I feel like they're trying to like anything at this point. I think they're tired and they think that's like an advantage that's unfair, which obviously it's not, because they've actively tried to reveal themselves in some instances and people just aren't picking it up. So yeah, but I have seen that sentiment that people are thinking maybe this will send a message that there's something there with Morgan that you know, I don't know.
Well, oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. Yes, Taryn.
Right as he's saying that, I'm getting tweets like I'm voting Morgan to ruin the sister twist. Like, okay.
It's nice that you think it's just going to A leads to B like that. That's cute. I don't necessarily think it'll play out that way.
Well, I would like to see Scott stay in the house. That I feel like as somebody, and again, I do have never claimed to watch nearly 1/100th of the live feeds that you guys watch. I am mostly watching the daily recaps and the long form versions of this, but I find that Scott adds a lot to this season. And I believe that if you want Alex to do well in this game, I do think that she needs to lose the, I don't want to use the word vestigial, but to lose Morgan from the game. And I think it would be fun to see Alex, Shelby, and Scott move forward as a group. So I would not mind if Morgan was voted out tomorrow night. What do you think of that, Taryn?
Well, I think I'd probably disagree with your reasoning that it's better for Alex. I think that the secret super close bond is better than the open super close bond. So I think Morgan is probably better for her game. But I would like to see Scott stay in longer than more. I think Scott's a much more compelling character than Morgan is. I think she's pretty bland. And I also think that giving her an eviction vote when she doesn't go, I think that's going to help her out a lot in the game. She's going to get dragged to the end.
Look at all this momentum now, Alex, for Scott to stay. Taryn's on board. I'm on board.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
do you hear that?
The
This is supposed to be a Survivor.
Leave it to the Virgin Prince to get the Virgin King chant going.
People are pumped up for Scott to stay now.
Unfortunately,
that was my first contribution to the soundboard.
Those people, even if you put them all together and remove any dissenting opinions, they only account for 33% of the decision making this week. Alex is another 33%, and she's not going against her sister.
No.
And Whitney is another 33%, and I don't even think she likes Scott.
Yeah.
Not very much.
Well, I was starting to get myself pumped up about that Scott was going to stay based on everything I was reading on Twitter, all these people trying to cast a vote for Morgan, but it sounds like it's just going to be this hinky vote. And yeah, I don't see the scenario. And it doesn't seem as though that there is any movement for Jason or anybody to put this bug in Whitney's ear.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't see the motivation for Jason, and I also don't see the motivation for Whitney. So it seems unlikely to me. Obviously, anything is possible. You know, Scott could do something crazy, and people would just be like, you know what? He is so ridiculous. Maybe we do need to keep him. Maybe we should be thinking about the care package thing. But as of right now, it seems pretty solid for Scott to go home, and there's not a lot of time for things to flip.
Okay, so yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. If the late night jamboree could vote here, Taryn, how do you feel like they would? Would they take the shot on Morgan, or would they vote out Scott?
They're currently
if they had their votes this week.
They currently want to vote Scott out. They that was the whole idea behind taking Whitney off the block, was to make sure that the plastics didn't betray Whitney to keep Scott. They want to make sure Scott goes home. They said, we want to please America. They put Scott up on the block. They served him on a platter. Let's take him out for him.
No, you're not pleasing America. Yeah.
And give Danielle a little credit. I mean, she recognized that maybe that's not her best move, that, you know, keeping Scott in the house is maybe not as detrimental to her game specifically, but then give Jason credit for steering her back in the other direction and trying and getting her to actually follow through on the plan that basically allows him more than anyone else to establish goodwill with the other side.
Yeah, because I thought Danielle's whole thing was this week that I don't like Scott, but I don't want to vote him out. We've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, Jason redirected that.
I was shocked that Jason managed to flip her like that. I mean, this is Jason sort of finally putting into action what at least I always thought he was capable of, which is like really being able to play this game. And I really like this move from him. Because he's working with Jason and Justin, and Justin's also been doing really well. He was able to pull Whitney. We'll see how solid that is, but for now it does seem very solid. And if Jason is able to pull people like Whitney and Justin and then get Chrissy and maybe cut Justin last second, I mean, Jason is looking pretty solid right now.
Yeah. Alex, would you agree that this was a bounce back week for Jason? I feel like a week ago when we were at the Live Know-It-Alls, I was reading on the internet, a lot of people really unhappy with Jason. I was reading a lot of posts on Reddit about how, hey, Jason needs to be America's nominee this week. And it seems like a lot of that has cooled off.
Yeah, well, 1 week ago, I was doing an impression of him calling Shelby a gold digger and trash and a hookah and all this stuff. And he's not been quite so preoccupied with just shading on Shelby this week. He's actually playing the game. There's game to be played this week. Things are actually shaking up in the group dynamics, so there's wiggle room.
Yes.
We talked about how he was running out of cigarettes. He ran out of cigarettes, and he got cheerier. Like, I feel like he's happier now. He's doing better. He's not as angry. His skin is cleared up. I feel like Jason off cigarettes is like prime Jason.
Wow. This is your Jason. This is your Jason on cigarettes. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is like, what if BBOTT becomes like this whole big, like anti-smoking documentary, like watch this guy. He was so mad. And then he's like, sort of like this happy, you know, totally like made over guy by the end of this movie.
That's more good than this footage will actually be used for.
That's interesting. Now, also, Chrissy was somebody where a week ago, everybody was talking about Chrissy during her HOH run, but I do feel like that she has at least faded a bit more into the scenery. Is that a right or wrong assessment, Alex?
It's relatively fair, I guess. I mean, there's just... I don't know. There's more going on. So she doesn't have as much time to just sit there and talk about herself, I suppose.
And I don't want her to go anywhere either.
It's kind of like a roller coaster where like she thought that America didn't like them. So she got kind of quiet again. But now that, you know, Scott went up on the block, she's back on the rise. I feel like she's getting more and more annoying again.
Yeah. And Taryn, what really changed for her? Because it seemed like that there was so much momentum. Get Chrissy on the block. How did it end up being Scott this week and not Chrissy? Was it because that Scott's quote unquote move to bully Danielle backfired so badly? Is that ultimately why he sits on the block and not Chrissy?
I don't think so. I mean, that didn't seem to really have a lot of impact on the people that were already fans of the Plastics or Scott. Honestly, I think it's probably just that Chrissy sort of just, she went quiet, you know, like she quieted down. She wasn't as annoying. And I feel like there's a contingent in the middle that I'm probably a part of that had the same idea
the
I did,
middle.
which is right. And which is that like, we want to see game being played. And I feel like supporting the HOH this week, which is what I wanted, is it gave the game time, some room to be played. And it's been a great week, I think. So I'm hoping that this middle sort of group sticks to that sort of idea and we see more game play moving forward.
Now, I believe you when you say that that's how you voted. I'm not one of these people who say that you, I don't believe what you're saying, but I can't imagine that was the primary motive, Alex, to strengthen the head of household. What is your theory as to why Scott sits on the block instead of Chrissy? And again, I understand that probably she would not still be sitting on the block had she been up there after Danielle won the veto.
Right. So as usual, Taryn understands the logical side of this and why logically things would transpire. But I need to explain emotionally why people would.
I could have answered this question. He just went to Alex instead.
Yes.
But all right. Settle down. I think it's a situation where, yes, you know, it is important that the HOH be in control this week. But it's because looking ahead, even people who were fed up with the late night jamboree side and how they were acting and kind of things they were saying and were starting to vote against them en masse when you saw them lose votes multiple weeks in a row. Even that group, there's a large contingent of that group that looked ahead at next week and at the care package that's a co-HOH and realized that if they take out Chrissy this week, you have very well of a situation where, you know, you're down to like Jason, Justin, and Danielle versus the house. I mean, it could have easily been a situation where one of them wins co-HOH and one of their allies goes home no matter what. So I think it really was just, you know, people who are averse to the idea of either side steamrolling really got behind Chrissy as opposed to Scott this week with the idea that, like, we can take Chrissy out next week. But if we decide to take Chrissy out this week and Scott out next week, we alter the game in a way that maybe can't be undone.
Yeah, sounds really emotional, Alex.
Yeah, but I do believe that most of this voting is based on emotion. I would think it's a minority of the voters that are sort of looking ahead and voting strategically. I just feel like that in my heart, I do believe that people say, oh, I like this person, I don't like this person. And that's how people are voting more so than anything in terms of like the ultimate strategy of the game.
Yeah, that's why I feel like. That's why I feel like Chrissy quieting down was probably the biggest factor, because there was a lot of movement toward Chrissy because she was being so obnoxious during her HOH and everything that happened with that. And then she was so quiet that it just like, well, Chrissy isn't even on Twitter anymore. She's not being talked about anymore. She's not on the radar anymore. And instead, it's more about Scott because Scott is still talking. Scott is still being a character out there. So, you know, the emotional sentiment went from like, oh, Chrissy, to like, yeah, Scott.
Yeah,
you know, he's out there.
I really think it was the decision to come after Danielle. And one of those episodes ends with her crying and talking about like, you know, how could he do this to me? Doesn't he know what I've been through in my life? And I just think
Danielle, he doesn't read minds. He doesn't.
Yeah. But I think that was just a really a big miscalculation on his part, especially to have that at the end of an episode. It's almost like a call to action to put him up on the block at the end of the episode. I mean, look, I've enjoyed what he's brought to the table. I think that it doesn't come for me from a place of malice, just from a place of like he's being a just a bastard. And then Scott, like, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? It's like, I thought it would be a good strategy. Like, he doesn't seem to feel like it's I'm more forgiving of that than the person who seems to have hate in his heart. And again, who knows? Maybe he does. But that is not how I view the Virgin King.
No, I think that's fair. But I do think there is a percentage of people, a growing and large percentage of people who really just didn't respond to his antics the way maybe you or I did.
Miscalculation to think that that was what America wanted, to see him really get in Danielle's face.
Yeah.
Not really what you want to be going for.
And it's not even so much that I'm referring to, but also the anti, like the Hulk Hoganisms and stuff like that. Like there's a small percentage of BB watchers that appreciate that. I'm in that Venn diagram. Unfortunately, most voters are not.
Like he's not Evil Dick. And, you know, Evil Dick in modern day, I don't think gets nearly the amount of support. But also people forget that a large amount of Evil Dick's popularity came from the relationship drama that he had with his daughter. You know, people don't just automatically love the person that causes a ton of drama and starts fights. Like, they're usually hated a bit at first, especially if it's somebody like Scott.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And when you go back and look at, you know, those episodes from BB-8, it's like, why is Dick doing this? It's often because somebody antagonized Danielle and his response is to protect her by pouring iced tea on Jen's head.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Can we talk a little bit about the Halloween night in the Big Brother house? Taryn, you want to give us a rundown on what was going on there?
But it's still happening, right?
Is it still Halloween in Big Brother
house? That was the dry run, I think.
Yes.
They basically, you know, they gave them some costumes. They gave them a Ouija board and
gave them a man with superpowers, Rob.
Yes. All right. Yes. So now what went on with, there were some alumni that came to visit, but not as many as were originally expected, Alex?
50% attendance, Rob. Not great, CBS. Not great.
How did that work?
So yeah, you're talking about former house guests too. We weren't looking for Neil Patrick Harris this time. Liz, Julia, Austin, and Luan were rumored to be in attendance for the Halloween party. Liz and Luan attended. Julia apparently had a prior acting engagement.
How do you get one Nolan sister?
Austin was wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rob. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
And how do you not realize it until showtime?
Yeah, like it was announced the day of and they announced like all four people, but then they had prior engagements. Like somebody really messed up.
Yeah. And for Austin, who once openly campaigned to be cast on The Bold and the Beautiful, his one moment came of, hey, 2 years from now, how about we get you on BBOTT in a costume? And then he balked at the offer, Alex.
Well, who knows what costume they were going to make him wear? Maybe he's just better off wrestling on the indies, to be honest with you, Rob. At least those costumes, he gets to choose.
He gets to pick out what he wants.
I mean, he would have gone in as Uncle Austin, let's face it.
Yeah, right.
Whereas like on the indies now, he can dress up like, you know, he can put on a trench coat and be a big scary guy like he likes to do.
Wow. And where was Julia?
She had like an acting thing. Like she's
what
she's
acting like
big,
thing?
She big time CBS. I don't know. She's on set somewhere, Rob. According to Liz. I don't know. Liz had to notify everyone.
She's on a different set, guys. She's doing very important things.
Yeah. God, it's so depressing to think that like Julia Nolan is a big time at CBS.
Yeah.
Now here we sit.
Okay. Now, Taryn,
the gig is to walk into the house for like 2 seconds and walk back
on the live
out,
feed. Like, yeah. Right. Taryn, now did the sight of Liz send Jason's wheels spinning again to think about Alex and Morgan potentially being sisters?
No.
Now.
And you would think so, because they were even like both wearing glasses and looking alike at a point last night.
Yeah, especially in costume.
Very alike.
Yeah. All right. So one of the other things I wanted to ask you guys about, Walt in the chat room brought this up about this idea of CBS has done something different with the way people are voting. Is this sort of just rumor mongering? Because I've seen this in other places too on Twitter in terms of the votes are being counted differently. Or do you think that there is some smoke here, Alex?
I just think what happened, there was apparently an instance on, I want to say Friday, maybe Saturday, because it was, I think it was during the nominee vote and not the have not vote. No, maybe it was the have not vote. But yeah, it reset, it seemed like. And I think really what it comes down to, the voting, it seemed like the voting reset. CBS put out like an announcement or something, I think, that said like, you know, the voting is reset. And like, if you voted, like vote again. And I think it just comes down to like wanting to eliminate robots, like wanting to get out people who are like gaming the system, right?
The vote Taryn, reset thing.
Do we have a rigged vote going on here in BBOTT?
No, we don't have a rigged vote. The vote reset thing happened because Alex was an option for the care package, even though she's already received a care package. So they had to reset it because Alex got a bunch of votes, I imagine.
Which is weird because they've had other votes in the past where the person has been an option who shouldn't be an option, and they've let those slide.
Right. I can't remember if we talked about, but yeah, I imagine that the Alex vote thing was in this instance enough to change the outcome, at least at that point. It was getting enough votes that it was like, oh man, this is not good. People will be upset if this, you know, alters the outcome. So they decided like, okay, we need to reset this and make sure that the Alex option doesn't eat up all those votes. However, they did change the terms of service or whatever it is, the rules for voting. They've done this a couple times throughout the season, I imagine, to counteract various ways of trying to get around the system. You're only one IP, only one set of votes per IP address. So you can't do it for multiple devices. They've also added like a clause that says something like, we reserve the right to eliminate your vote for whatever reason we feel like you're gaming the system or using multiple accounts, stuff like that. And that's basically all it is.
Okay.
Yeah, are you a registered felon?
No, there is, you think that there's voter intimidation going on, Alex?
I don't know. I do feel like maybe there's some hoops now to be jumped through that maybe they're trying to discourage a certain percentage of voter. And I'm not cool with that, Rob.
Okay. Well, that's look, we need to have voter regularity going on here with this. Taryn, do you think that has any chance to impact the vote? And do you think that the Scott going up on the block this week is has anything to do with that?
I don't. I think that based on the polls, it seemed like Scott legitimately pulled ahead because it's not like CBS regulated my poll or other polls. Mm-hmm. And those polls were saying that Scott was probably going to get nominated. Jokers, I think, was the only poll, and it was pretty close, that said Chrissy might. So I think that was, that was how the people were feeling at that time.
Yeah. Taryn, we've talked so much about your poll this season, and I had a theory. I'm not sure if you guys had, this came up on any of the podcasts, and excuse me if it did, but I believe that the reason why last week your poll pointed in the wrong direction was because that I think that it's been so talked about. I think people believe that if they can somehow affect your poll, they will affect the outcome. And I wonder if there was ballot box stuffing going on your poll, Taryn.
Yes, this was speculated about because the amount of votes was a lot higher than normal. But yeah, people were talking about it like, Taryn's poll has never been wrong. Therefore, if we get it to say what we want, then it has to come true.
Yes. Yes. I think that was evidence.
I'm at least now, I've only been wrong once, and that's still better than I'm pretty sure any other poll. So still doing well.
But now it's tainted and we can't trust it going forward.
No, there's still the best poll out there. That's what I'm saying.
Perhaps that as we get to BBOTT2, we could work with the tabulator on creating some more advanced exit polling as opposed to just Twitter exit polling, Taryn.
Yeah, but then people won't follow me.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
you could tweet out the link.
How do you feel about making Chrissy a half-nut on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes.
How likely are you to repeat this behavior in the future?
Okay. And then I want to start to get into your questions. Remember, hashtag RHAP to get your questions onto the show. Let's just, again, look ahead again if you guys are both on the same page that Scott will be the next person to go out from BBOTT on Wednesday night. So this upcoming week is going to be a double eviction, correct, Alex? Or is that the following week? I have it right?
No, that's the following week. Okay. Yeah, co-HOH is first.
All right, so co-HOH is first, and then the double eviction. Are the house guests aware that is going to be a double eviction, or they will become aware when they get the care package?
Yeah, I think the care package will let them know. And I wonder if package will be delivered at a different time in a different manner, given the nature of it. You know, if you drop it on Friday and they have until Thursday to know it's a double coming, Wednesday, that certainly changes things. So maybe they do that a little differently.
Yes.
I'd really like to see like a very minimal setup for like a fake double eviction veto. And then they go out and then instead there's just like a box that comes down and it's just like, hey, here you go, Justin.
Yeah.
You're not actually playing.
Now,
just take a seat.
In terms of this double HOH, this is going to be an HOH competition. And then is it going to be similar, Alex, to the HOH that Big Meech got during the season where we will crown an HOH and then the care package recipient will be the second HOH?
You got it. That's it. Exactly.
Okay. All right. And is there movement right now? Because we will not have another show before that care package gets delivered, right? That will be on Friday, correct?
Yes.
Am I thinking BB18?
No, it will be delivered on Friday. We'll be talking tomorrow night and Brent will be on Thursday.
Yes, but we will not have a Rob as a podcast episode before that.
No RHAP right. proper.
Right, no RHAP proper. There will be a Big Brother Happy Hour and there will be a So You Think You Can podcast episode in between now and then. But Rob Cicero will not be talking about BBOTT again on a podcast between now and Friday. So that it has either side really made a movement for who should get that co-HOH or will that be a mad scramble after we see who the first HOH is, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very circumstantial and especially the co-HOH because it's kind of a weaker care package at this point.
Ask Big Meech.
So it's honestly something that a lot of people probably won't want to get especially if their ally already has HOH. So I think it's very circumstantial. We have to wait to see what happens.
So Alex, could we reset who has won a care package and who has not? So obviously Justin is still available to receive a care package, as is Morgan, as is Whitney, as is Jason also.
Correct. Jason still has not won a care package. Okay. So yeah, I believe those are your four.
Those are your four.
And Danielle.
Oh, and Danielle. Right. Danielle's yet to win a package.
Okay. Yeah. Boy. I would think, if I had to predict this, I wonder if this is Danielle's week, Taryn.
Yeah, I certainly could be. You know, she's getting some momentum here. People are always a big fan of the person that wins HOH and veto in the same week, especially if they don't like totally screw it up. And I feel like Danielle is a compelling underdog character in the first place. So I think she's on the rise here.
Now, is she eligible for co-HOH in the care package? I feel like that, Alex, we were talking about this with Victor during the season, that there was going to be a scenario where he was going to be HOH 3 weeks in a row or something like that. There's nothing that disqualifies Danielle from being the co-HOH the week after being the regular HOH.
Right. Well, this is where all these caveats begin to, you know, intrude on the Big Brother rules and things get a little wonky. I mean, all we can do is guess. But yeah, I assume that's the case.
Okay. All right. So we'll see which one of those five. Now, how many care packages are left overall, Biscuit?
I think there's three.
So we
right?
have this one.
Just the three, right?
And then we have the double eviction the double eviction veto.
Grab a seat on the bench during the double.
And then we have the shortcut to the final four is the final one.
Yeah, yeah, although I think it's like the right to play in a game that will grant you shortcut to Final Four, right?
I mean, they're going to win the game, right? Like,
but what if they didn't?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, if it's Justin, I could see a scenario where he doesn't win it, right?
Oh, man, what day was that?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, drag.
Now, I've also been very impressed with Justin. A big week for him. Not only did he get the pizza song dropped. Pizza, baby. Yeah. Not only did he get that out there, it seems as though that he's starting to make his move and not just be part of the late night jamboree, but also he seemed instrumental in bringing Whitney over. It seems like he has a good relationship with Scott on the other side of the house. Taryn, how impressed have you been with Justin?
I do like what Justin's doing. I think that the results are very good right now. I don't think that he necessarily planned it perfectly that way.
Are we being results oriented?
I think a little bit. I love Justin, but he's not like the most strategic, you know, guy in the house, and he'll be the first to admit that. I honestly would credit Jason more with it. He's the one that got the information from Alex in the first place. And then Justin just kind of, he told his friend information that he thought she should know. And it worked because, you know, it was obviously true. And so Whitney sort of jumped over on board. Jason is the one that benefits more from it, I imagine.
Alex, are you going to shortchange Justin also?
I guess if that's shortchanging what Terrence just did.
Come on.
I was really hoping you had that.
Yeah, come on. How could you call that bad strategy?
Yeah, that clip was from when he finds out that he was a have not this week. Very, very, very funny by Justin. And then also by the Big Brother editors who did like the shot, like the zoomed in, like wide shot of him, like, wow. As he's like falling to his knees. Very, very funny.
Best have not reveal since Gary in Big Brother Canada 1.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Justin is a lot of fun. I like that we didn't give him a lot of credit for being able to play the game. He's played this game, I think, socially pretty flawlessly, right? Would you guys both agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And showed much more strategy, I think, that we gave him no credit. He's been very good and very likable. And I think in OTT, I think that's right where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, again, I don't want to take credit away from what he did with Whitney. I think it was still impressive. Just not necessarily like he's not a mastermind. Well, we won't go that far, but I do like what he's doing. And I could definitely see Jason think, you know, I can drag Justin along and then I'll snip him right at the end. But instead, Justin gets that like flash forward to Final Four thing. And all of a sudden he can't get evicted and he wins.
So you don't think he's a strategist, but then on finale night, he'll be like, hey, let me introduce y'all to my round Dan Giesling, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh,
I've been wanting to be on this show since I was 8 years old. And I every day that I had this all planned this whole time, all
y'all
55
fell for that
days.
Pizza act.
Yeah.
He fell for the pizza act.
That's right. My God. And Justin was so scared of the Ouija board.
Yes, more so than the witch hat, Taryn.
The witch hat.
No, the witch hat was worse.
Yes.
It did.
Okay.
Morgan put on that witch hat, which is, it got Neely sent home, as far as I'm concerned. So.
Yeah, boy, don't put on that witch hat, Morgan.
It's bad juju.
Yeah, Justin's gonna be in Whitney's ear. You'll see. You'll say, all right, let's get into these questions sent into us by our amazing live viewing audience. And why don't we start off with Anne, who says, does Taryn need a T-Hive or a Taryn Nation, a group of fans to have his back in this tumultuous season? Is that now that Anne's asking for the Pauly impression? Does Pauly have a P-Hive or a Pauly Nation? Is that a thing, Alex?
If it is, I'm not aware of it.
I'd like
to remain ignorant of it.
I don't know. Is it dangerous to type into Twitter a P-Hive? Let me see.
I'm pretty
whatever
sure.
Whatever you learn in the next few seconds, Rob, please don't share it with me.
Look, I got all my crew in my P-Hive. Kirsten in the chat room is telling us that Zakiya has the Z-Hive. Uh-oh.
Of course, because she's Queen Z.
Yes.
Buzz, Rob.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense.
And we don't know if there's a Pauly Nation out there. So,
I did see on Snapchat that he was dressed as Jared Leto Joker last night.
Yeah. On my snapback, you could see my costume. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Don't come for Paulie. He's a lion. They're also telling me in the chat room. Okay. Well, watch out for that.
Yeah. I mean, he is a lion.
Sells.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Timo wants to know, isn't America voting Morgan to throw a hinky vote the ultimate hashtag team good feeds move? So Timo makes the argument for, won't it be good feeds if there's a hinky vote against Morgan? Taryn, you scoffed.
Maybe if you
I scoff
like,
because literally every single person thinks that their idea means good feeds. Like every single person says that, right? Like no one side has objectively the best feeds. Everybody has different ideas of what good feeds are. I'm so tired of hearing that.
Listen, Taryn, my feed hive is saying that a hinky vote for Morgan is going to be good feeds. That's what the Feed Nation is saying.
Well, I think the most likely outcome is that they reassess. They think maybe Morgan is unliked by America, and so Morgan is less likely to be targeted. So if you're trying to protect the sisters, then maybe if you think that's good feats, then go for it.
Okay. Because
I don't think you're going to get any other outcome from it.
Okay. Cassie wants to say, if there is a tie next week, who breaks it with the co-HOH in play? All right. So interesting in terms of the tie next week. So now we get these three votes that are canceled out back into the fold. So this week where we have two votes plus America, next week we will have three votes back into the mix, but one less person. So it would be four votes plus America. I don't think that there could be a tie unless it was a 2-2-1. Is that right, Taryn?
Well, there still could, right? Because the co-HOH and there's potentially three or two people on the block. So I think there's usually a scenario where there could be a tie. And somebody presented me with the scenario where it would be a tie, where it is that possibility. And I'll credit Brent for this. Brent remembered back to the All-Star season when Janelle and Jace were co-HOHs in the first week. And in that instance, the veto holder would break a tie.
Oh, I would say that in the case of a tie vote on eviction night, I would say that the America's vote, whichever way they went, should break the tie. What do you think of that, Alex?
I think this board game has too many damn pieces, Rob.
Have Chrissy go read the rule book, Taryn. Chrissy go read the rule book. She could come back and tell us what it says in the case of this super complex. I think that we would have it goes to the Electoral College, I think, at that point. Evan McMullen, I think, is the
that
HOH
average
at that
age
point.
CBS audience right now, Rob, is they went online for a minute and they were like, what am I watching?
Yeah. All right.
Probably this is not.
Dan Connolly has a question. I am at the highest level of pissed with America nominating Scott over Chrissy. Convince me there's any hope left for Alex or Shelby. All right. So this is basically Dan is saying that he's phoning in his resignation for the plastics. Is this over for the ball smashers, Taryn?
It very well could be, you know, they, especially because Whitney has turned. Basically, Alex was put in a position where she was trying to protect her sister and it really backfired on her. It was a big mistake to give as much information as she did to Jason. They probably would have put Whitney up even if she didn't give that information. And so she's lost Whitney to some extent. She'll be losing Scott and going into this next HOH, she'll be down on numbers. And it doesn't even seem like America really has their back at this point either. And even if they did, there's only one of them left that can get a care package that is loyal. So they are in a lot of trouble here.
But it is
largely their fault.
Is if Morgan got blindsided and got voted out of the house, and then everybody would feel bad for Alex. Because this is where you want to be, Taryn. I'm telling you, in this BBOTT, you're scoffing again that what you want to be the underdog heading into the final seven. You want to be down in the numbers. And I think that if she got her sister picked off here and there's already a lot of support for Alex, I think people would really have her back then. Where then also I think that the misfit side of the house would get complacent. They'd get a big head, start talking about how they have this game locked up. And that is what they need to have America turn on. That Scott, I think, did them a disservice when he really, they lost the moral high ground when he came after Danielle. And I think that that is why the misfits have gained the favor of America, Alex. What do you think of that?
You always want the moral high ground, Rob.
You want the moral high ground. It's an area that you could retreat to at any time.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You got a good vantage point at all the other ethical views.
Yes.
Perspectives.
Sure.
You just can't talk about how you have the moral high ground.
Yes. You can't talk about how we're the good guys. Finally, our side is winning and all that stuff. I think that
and then you're technically retreating downhill.
Well, at that point. Absolutely. So Alex, do you think that really the ideal position where you want to be heading into the final, how many people are left in the house now? What is it? Is it nine left in the house?
Nine
in the house. This is going to be eight after tomorrow night. And then, I guess after seven, and then what, we go from seven to five with the double eviction.
Guess so.
Okay. Telling you, you want to be the underdog. That down is up, up is down. You want to be the underdog here.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay. The only thing I'd say against that is that the care packages they have to go against them. And that's going to be a big detriment, I think.
Yeah,
Alex and Shelby have both already received care packages. So if they're the two on the outs, a big golden ticket isn't going to fall from the sky anytime soon.
Yeah, I also feel like getting Morgan out of the game in this spot, I think, would really have to force Alex and Shelby to work with the other side. They're not just going to sit there and sit up in a room, I don't think, the whole way. So I think that they're going to be forced to try to pull some allies over one way or another. So I think that's a team good feeds is rooting for Morgan to go home.
If you say so.
Hashtag feed nation. Hashtag feed hive. Sorry. John Densford, did Danielle make a mistake? Isn't Whitney taking her spot or pushing her to fifth at best? Taryn, you're nodding. So Danielle, this was a miscalculation.
I think so. I think that's exactly what's happening. I think Whitney is going to take the place of Danielle. Her allies are already not fond of her. And, Justin already feels like he wants to take a shot at her somewhat soon. So it's really a dicey position to do that, especially because she also burned the other side in doing it. So I'm not liking the move. I was liking what she was doing before this, but it could still turn out in her favor because she still could get a care package. And I think that she did win some popularity this week, so it could turn out all right, but I'm not a fan of the move.
Alex. Yeah, at this point in the game, I mean, it's decisively the mid game at this point. It's not early game. And I think something you have to be wary of at this point in the game is protecting your ally's number. Whitney is not a number for her. Whitney is a number for her people. And I think that's something that you have to think about, because when push comes to shove, if you're up on the block against one of your people, as inevitably often happens, Whitney's going to vote to protect them over you almost all the time. So at this stage of the game, you really do have to expand your thinking and start looking at not just who do I target, but also does it really behoove me to keep someone who I need this other person for our relationship to work?
Taryn, could you explain to me the big picture? What is Whitney's path to victory in this game? Because I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see it either. I don't think that she has a path with the other side, even though she has flipped now. But the problem is she was at the bottom. But here's the thing. I think that if she flips back, if Scott leaves, I think she has the room to flip back. There's only four people left in that alliance. If she does use her care package to benefit that alliance, I think that there is a scenario where she's able to squeeze her way into that final three, especially if the care package is something that only benefits her, really, actually. But if she wins an HOH or she just supports that side, I think that's a much easier way to get to the end.
But what care package is she winning?
Well, she has to win one eventually, or she probably has to win one eventually.
But is that a realistic scenario? I mean, if she's not winning this next care package, and Jason and Justin are still in the house, well, where is she winning a care package? How does she have that kind of popularity?
I imagine the people who haven't gotten care packages are going to be targeted over anyone else. So the next 2 weeks, I would honestly expect two people who haven't gotten care packages to leave, which would mean, I think, that everybody left in the game at that point would receive a care package. At which point I think if by default goes to Whitney, right near the end, I think that's a great spot for her. But I think this is all sort of slim, chance, especially I don't think that she can work with Justin long-term, especially because her strongest connection is with him and he will beat her in the end. So yeah, I'm not solid on her chances either way.
I think Whitney, more than anyone, is one of these people that is really hurt when we realize that this is a final three scenario, because you can definitely envision how in a final two, she could maneuver herself there with Chrissy and win. But now when you look at a final three, it begins to become very, I mean, can she get herself there with like Chrissy and Danielle? And if not, then you look around and you're like, wow, a lot of these people are just more charismatic and higher on ratings across the board than Whitney. It becomes pretty tough to envision the winning scenario for her.
It just seems to me like, especially when we get to a fan favorite vote, how does she pull that off? Where if she is somebody that, you know, had whatever degree of popularity as part of the Ball Smashers, and then if there are people that already liked the late night jamboree side of things, and now they say, oh good, we like Whitney now because she's on our side, but she's never going to become the favorite of the people on that side. It would have to be some sort of a sliver of support that were the biggest hardcore Whitney fans from the get-go, unless the plastics just get totally wiped off the face of the house. And maybe because they feel like that she was, okay, she was with us at one point, Alex, they vote for her against Late Night Jamboree in the final three.
I don't know. It's really hard to see, I think, at this point. I think her best bet is to make more moves strategically going forward, because she's not super charismatic. She's not someone who's going to just be like a bright, potent spot on the feeds in terms of making fans want to tune in. So her alternative option is then to be engaging strategically, to be trying to work the game and to really be trying to explore all those angles. So I think if she were to, you know, like Taryn talked about, if she were to like flip back next week and then try to reorganize something different the week after, she could begin to create a compelling narrative for herself that she's unable to do with simply her personality.
I don't think that's enough to get it done in the end.
I think that she basically needs to, I think she has two scenarios where she has a chance to win. I think it's if she somehow manages to drag both Chrissy and Danielle to the end, she might be able to beat Danielle, but honestly, Danielle might have a shot to beat her. Or if she's up against Alex and Shelby, I could see Alex and Shelby split the vote because Shelby has a decent following and Alex isn't quite the golden girl that she used to be. So I could see all of the Misfit fans putting all their votes onto Whitney because she was close with Justin, and then all the plastics fans sort of splitting their votes between Shelby and Alex.
Okay.
And I could also see a scenario where she beats Morgan, but like Taryn was talking about, it's hard for me to envision a scenario where both Whitney and Morgan survive the next couple weeks, because these are two girls who don't have numbers on their side and haven't won a care package, which makes them a prime target right now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to a couple more questions. This is from Stephen H. Why was Jason pushing so hard to get rid of Scott this week? Wasn't Scott the only person trying to work with him from the other side? It did seem as though then he came around on that and they had a deal. Did that deal not actually hold, Taryn?
I mean, for Jason, the deal was essentially there in case he got put up by America. And he wanted to make sure that if that happened, he would be able to survive. And once it didn't happen, he was like, whew, that was a close one. We've got Whitney now, so why don't we just bring her over? And now he's also not as concerned about the care packages because he feels like America is back on his side. So, you know, moving forward, I feel like he thinks he has Whitney pretty solidly. He thinks he's got, you know, Justin and Chrissy pretty solidly. So he's not too concerned about, you know, keeping Scott or whatever. And he also feels like getting rid of Scott will free Alex up a little bit more so that if he does want to work with Alex moving forward, maybe use her to take out Justin. That's going to be more of a possibility.
Yeah. And we've talked about it a good bit this season, I think. But yeah, really, Scott's downfall in this game. I mean, being too honest and going out of his way to try to protect people who aren't going to bat for him in the same way. Because, again, it is a scenario where he was trying to make a deal that protects both him and Alex. And at this point, when you don't have the leverage, when you're the one going trying to negotiate from the people in power, you can't be trying to pitch that at this point. You got to look out for yourself, and they're looking for people who are going to be willing to, like what Alex did, basically throw everyone else under the bus in order to save themselves. And Scott hasn't been willing to do that, which is a turnoff.
Taryn, I always like to look ahead. And so let's just start to talk about what the game looks like if Scott does presumably go out of the game it would be a dark day for the Virgin King and his supporters. But if he was gone, then what does that house look like with the sisters and Shelby basically off on one side of the house, perhaps not even knowing that Whitney has defected against them?
Well, they do know that Whitney has defected. Alex had been suspecting it before the veto happened. And after the veto happened, Alex immediately was like, oh, Whitney sold us out, basically. And Jason probably told her what I told him, and that's why. And she also, I think, correctly identifies that Whitney is going to be sitting in the middle next week. Mm-hmm. She's going to go to whoever wins HOH. So with that in mind, I think that the HOH is basically going to be the sisters versus the rest of the house, because I don't think Shelby really has much of a shot of winning unless it's a quiz or something, because Shelby's just not that great.
But that being said, don't you think that the momentum among the fan vote really shifts at that point to make Morgan the co-HOH? Won't every Plastics fan be voting for with Shelby off the board, with Alex off the board, with Whitney defecting? There's no other way to go than every Plastics fan voting to give Morgan the care package. And I do believe that the Jamboree side of the things, I think probably, unless they really are organized, by splitting their vote amongst their couple of favorites there, people voting Danielle, people saying don't use it yet on Jason. Some people say, no, we got to give it to Jason now. Won't Morgan almost definitely get the next care package?
I wouldn't say definitely, but I would imagine she might, given how close the two sides seem to be. I think that the people in the middle who want more balance would probably give it to somebody like Morgan if the Plastics did not win the HOH. And as you said, the people who like really love people like Jason and Danielle might split their votes a little bit, but that might not save them. There's a scenario where... there's actually plenty of scenarios where yep. that's not enough. That only saves Morgan and actually just leaves Shelby and Alex, the more popular people, in even more danger. Not that I think anybody would evict Morgan over Shelby or Alex anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's looking pretty... I think they probably need to win that HOH to have really any shot, and they need to have America on their side with the nomination as well. Even if they do win the
now,
HOH.
Hold on. So, now, what if Morgan wins HOH?
Right.
The thing is, the HOH gets to make a nom and the co-HOH gets to make a nom. So if
gets to keep her full power.
If she were to get both? Yeah.
Yes. If she was the HOH and then got the care package that was co-HOH.
Right. But yeah, I mean, really the problem is if you're only making one nominee... it's very easy for them to put up the one person that you're trying to protect, and then you don't have a vote. So at that point, it's almost worse to be in the HOH position.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think will happen, actually. If Morgan wins HOH, I feel like people will want to give the co-HOH to Whitney, because I think that creates an interesting scenario where Whitney is now choosing a side, right? Is she going to work with the Plastics again and try to get out one of the Misfits? Or is she going to try and completely stab them in the back, which may or may not work depending on whose side America is on? And it's also the best shot of giving the underdogs a chance at surviving the week. So I feel like that's probably the most compelling option. And I think is what's going to happen if Morgan wins HOH.
And Biscuit, is it fair to assume that based on your desire to keep one side from getting too far out in front of the other side, that Morgan will be your endorsed pick for the care package come Friday?
It's less about balancing the sides for me and more about supporting whoever wins HOH, because I want to give that randomness back to the house. I don't want two sides or two people on different sides up on the block.
That's the thing from now on. You won't even root for an underdog?
I've got to root for whoever the HOH goes to, because that's what's going to encourage the most strategy. And I feel like it worked this week, and I want to try and continue that moving forward. Granted, next week is a really tricky scenario, because just because, you know, Alex or Morgan wins HOH doesn't mean that, you know, giving the care package to a certain person is going to help them or hurt them. So it's definitely up in the air who I think I'd give it to. It's a very complicated scenario.
Alex, who's somebody in the game right now that thinks they're in a really good spot, but actually is on very shaky footing?
I don't know if anyone thinks they're in a really great spot. Well, that's the thing. It's like Chrissy has kind of like toned it down a little bit in terms of thinking she's really in such a great spot now. She's probably the closest, or maybe Justin, just because of the fact that it could turn around on Justin in the next week or two. I mean, technically he is looking like he's in a really good spot.
But her side of the house, I think,
easily.
Do they have enough votes to keep her safe, even if America puts her on the block at this point?
Potentially. Ooh. I mean, Chrissy? This co-HOH thing really creates a lot of variables.
Okay. All right, we'll see. Let's do two or three more questions. S. Rich, should Morgan yell, "Alex is my sister," on her way out just to shake things up tomorrow? I cannot see, I cannot envision a scenario where that would make any sense.
Yeah, what's the upside? That she won't buy you something when the game's over now? That she won't take you out to dinner?
It's like, not like Alex put her up on the block or anything or blindsided her.
Yeah, I guess people are just like projecting their own feelings into the house guests. Yeah, like, wouldn't Morgan want to see great feeds?
Yeah, there's possible upside, Morgan, when your family member wins money.
Are you on? Are you on team feeds? Are you in Feed Nation? Yeah.
Are you on team good feeds or team great feeds?
Yeah.
She's on team, if my sister gets paid, that means good things for me.
That's what you want, some damn good feeds, okay? All right. Tyson Apostle wants to know, how will America react if Shelby eliminates America's eviction vote? Well, that's not even possible, right, Alex? She can't remove America's eviction vote, right?
I don't think it is, but I haven't seen it fully confirmed. I wish Christy would go to the rule book on this. Maybe then I could have some clarification.
Right. But Alex or Taryn, there's no reason to believe that she would go ahead and remove America's vote.
No, and I don't think there would be any reason to, because she's, I imagine, going to know who all the players are going to evict. So it's a much easier decision to make, like, oh, I don't want this vote. I don't want this vote. I don't know which way America is going. So I'm not sure that that's the right move to take their vote away.
Okay. Alex, is there anything that the Virgin King could do to save himself tonight of his own volition?
Well, I guess he doesn't see, the problem is he doesn't realize that Alex is protecting Morgan. So if he were to try to bury somebody, it would be Morgan, and that would probably be wrong, which is a shame. Probably the best thing he could do is just start targeting Shelby. Just go to the Misfit side, really try to convince them that Shelby is more of a target than he is actually smarter than she lets on. He has some dirt on Shelby in that respect. That's probably his best play.
Okay.
Well, I think it's probably actually Morgan. I think what he has to do is say to the Misfits, you know, I just found out that Alex is planning on voting me out instead of Morgan. And I'm really pissed off about that. And I loved her like a nerdy guy loves an attractive woman. And she betrayed me. And now I want her out of this game. And that's the only way that they might think, okay, well, Whitney, you should vote Morgan out instead of Scott. And then with America's vote, Morgan might go out and Scott might be safe. But I mean, let's face it, Scott's not going to do that.
Alex, give me the best case scenario for how this plays out if there's a hinky vote on Wednesday night. If the Team Morgan voters have their way, and by a vote of 2-1, Scott, you were evicted from the Big Brother house. Give me sort of the feed hive perspective of how this plays out.
Oh my God. Your last name is Willett. I knew it.
Oh, you think it reveals the sister twist.
Well, that's how people are hoping it might go down. I don't see how it would, how A would translate to B so easily, but no, I think more likely is you see the vote and Morgan is like, I don't know what I did, America. Sorry. And everyone's like, it's okay. I'm sure you're fine.
And the logic here is that America put Scott up on the block. Obviously, America voted to evict Scott. So who was it? Was it you, new ally Whitney, that we knew we couldn't trust you this whole time? You're a plastic all along. You're going up on the block this week. I mean, isn't this a upside? I mean, if this really did blow up in any way, isn't that pro plastics if this blows up, Taryn?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. My initial reaction was, you know, this might throw, you know, dissension to the Misfits, if anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like basically like any sort of spy thing where the person who flips, if anything goes wrong, then obviously, you know, the first person that's going to get blamed is the person who just flipped over from the other side. You were really a double agent this whole time. Okay, kill him. And then ultimately we'll see what ultimately happens. So, look, I'm okay with it. If, well, I'd like to see the Virgin King stay if that was a thing, but we will see. We'll see.
Well, I am. My poll currently says with just over 1,000 votes, 53% Morgan, 44% Scott.
Okay. All right. We got one more question. JJ wants to know, who do you think has a better chance of winning if the final three came to Justin versus Jason versus Alex? Alex Kidwell, doesn't it seem like it would be Alex who would win against two late night jamboree people?
Very possibly, but man, that's really tough to call at this point for me. Like Jason has like the returning player factor. I don't know how really to factor that in. Justin is very popular on a level where even if, you know, I don't know that it really comes down to size at that point. It really just comes down to who you like or who you enjoyed watching, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's Justin. I feel like he consistently throughout the season has been one of the most popular house guests, and I don't see that going away anytime soon. I don't think it's dependent on his position in the house like it is with Jason and Alex. So I feel like if Justin is there, he wins hands down.
Yeah, and I believe that for Jason, the biggest threat on the board for him is Justin, because I think if he ends up in the end with Justin, that Justin has crossover appeal. And I think that there are a lot of people who like the plastics who still like Justin, even though he's part of the late night jamboree. So I think that that's definitely a danger, especially if there was another late night jamboree person there splitting votes with Jason. All right. So that's going to do it here for our show here tonight. And so we are going to be back with plenty more BBOTT coverage coming up. Maybe the feed hive got me.
The Z hive is swarming as they we got speak, me. Rob.
People wanted good feeds. This is good feeds, Rob.
Look, like a lion, we're going to knock the lights out first. So from here, Wednesday night, Jordan Parhar is going to be having the Big Brother happy hour to talk about everything. Alex, who's on that show?
Me, Brent, Jordan, as far as I know.
All right.
You never know. Sometimes people pop in. It's like a midnight show. It gets a little wacky sometimes.
You never know who's going to show up. That's going to be on Wednesday night. On Thursday evening, we will have our first of our So You Think You Can podcast round one competitions, and we will have Brent Wolgamott with Team Brent talking about the latest on the live feeds from Thursday, and then I will be back with you on Friday afternoon after we get through all of the Survivor for this week. Let's go with the hashtag feed hive. That's a thing now that we just came up with. Very excited about that. Looking forward to seeing how this eviction plays out on Wednesday night. Great job by Taryn, of course, and by Alex. You can see Taryn and his poll at Armstrong Taryn. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Also, by the way, check out Jordan Parhar celebrating his 100th podcast, his 100th Happy Hour. That's also up on robinswebsite.com. So cute, 100 podcasts, right? So cute. Adorable 100 podcasts.
We saw the humble brag on Twitter, Rob.
Such a humble brag.
All right. Well, have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.